Barbara.
Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of That's Bonkers, Bruh, where we talk about the strange and unusual, the interesting, and anything downright bonkers. I'm your host, Kelsey.
And I'm Mitch.
And this week's episode is about the underground, supposed underground tunnels that are in Ogden, Utah.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. And that's where we're from.
Yeah, kind of near and dear to the heart a little bit, right? Because as you'll hear a little bit later, we had our wedding reception at the end of 25th Street in Ogden, Utah.
Yeah, at Union Station.
At the Union Station.
Yeah, and actually, when we booked the venue, they said to us, well, you can do that date. It was October 20th. They're like, yeah, you can do that date, but you have to be out by a certain time because we have a ghost tour scheduled later that night. And I was like, sign me up.
We should have just, I mean, we had things to do.
We had things to do.
Outside of those things to do. It would have been fun. Would have been a fun experience.
Yeah, I think I might have seen a ghost when we toured that place.
I don't think I've heard this story.
I swear I've told you.
How? Please elaborate.
Okay. I'm going to try to stay on task here and not get distracted. Our dog is in the room, though, so if you hear weird sounds, it's the dog. So, yeah, we toured the venue to see if we wanted, because it was, like, the Union Station is, like, the big train station, or the old train station, I guess, at the end of 25th Street. These alleged tunnels are under 25th Street. We'll get into that. And there's, like, a big ballroom where we had our reception. There's a restaurant there. There's all these other little rooms. There's, like, an old car show place. Right? It's like a museum.
Yeah, there's like an old car museum that's there.
Yeah, so we're touring the facility and she's taking us all through and it's like cool and old and creepy and I love that. And when we got to the top floor, she was like telling us like how it was like really haunted there and stuff. And they do ghost tours all the time. And there was this one bathroom and she was like, oh yeah, this is like the bathroom that no one uses. Like, it's not really in service anymore, but when I looked in, there was someone in there. Like, there was feet underneath the stall. And I was like, oh my gosh, was that a ghost? Do you not remember seeing people in that, like, feet in that bathroom?
No, but I wasn't checking underneath stall doors.
Well, I could just see the feet, like, standing underneath.
Okay, question. Was he or she wearing shoes of the modern century?
I don't really recall. I didn't pay attention because I just remember thinking later when she had mentioned, yeah, no one uses that bathroom anymore. I was like, there was someone in the stall. I saw feet.
That's wild.
Yeah. Do you not remember that?
I don't. So the only thing I really remember in relation to ghosts, and if you're going to get into this, stop me, but we did at least one of the two available ghost tours on 25th Street some years later.
Yeah, it was really, really cool.
It was so fun because there's just so much history that has happened there that we didn't even know growing up there. I mean, we kind of knew train station was down at the end and you heard about these tunnels that go from, what is it? Like the one end where the Union Station is up to like Wall Avenue or something like that, a couple blocks.
We'll get into that. That's one of the theories, but yeah.
Okay. Well, and it was really fun because it didn't seem scripted, but we stopped in front of this like guy's soap store.
Yeah, Making Sense is what it was called. You made like bath bombs and you could make like your own soaps and candles and stuff. Unfortunately, I don't think that store actually is in business anymore. The COVID wiped out a lot of the businesses that are on 25th Street. Yeah, a lot of the small businesses have gone under, unfortunately. It's just a lot of like small little shops and stuff
there.
Mom and pop shops.
But, I mean, he just came out, was super excited for us to be there. It was like closing time, right? Like, had to have been 8, 9 o'clock or something like that. And he was like, you guys need to come in and see the basement because I've got all this activity. And if you weren't a believer in ghosts, but you went down there, you were kind of like, okay, I believe. Because, like,
it was crazy.
It was the ball that got me. He had, like, a little kid's, like, ball. I don't know, inch and a half or so in diameter. And the floor, I mean, obviously wasn't flat or whatever, but he set it down in the middle of the floor, didn't move. And then he summoned I guess.
He asked the, it was like a kid's There's a spirit, kid. I yeah. guess, and he said,
play with the ball or yeah, move the ball or whatever. And it started scooting all over, not in one direction. It was like it was being like slowly batted around, and like they did the rod things in there that you ask it a question and it would be like, if you are here, cross these wires, and they would cross.
Yeah, that was wild.
It was it was such a cool experience. And just to hear some of the history too, which again, we'll get into, but
he mentioned that sometimes people, when they were in the store, they'll feel like a little kid was like holding their hand and then look down, no one was there. Anyway, there was a lot that went in. This technically is not about ghosts, this podcast, but we will do creepy podcasts episodes later on.
Yeah, we'll definitely get into that, because that sounds like we could probably do a whole other episode on 25th Street, honestly. There's so much cool stuff on that's the down ghost. There.
Yeah, I had a really fun time researching this, honestly. So if you don't know, I'm assuming most people that are going to listen to this are not from Ogden. So everybody who's from there knows kind of about these alleged tunnels that are underneath 25th Street. Like I said, I always grew up thinking like, for sure, that's a thing. Like, everybody just knows that. Everybody knows about these tunnels. But then in my researching it, there was a lot of people saying on the internet that like, no, that's actually just a rumor. They're not, that's not true. It's just a series of basements connecting. And apparently like, nobody can clarify or verify whether this is rumor or real. But I swear growing up, my mom knew someone or like worked with someone or something who said he had been in the tunnels. And we were like, oh my gosh, please take us down there. Please take us for a tour. And it was, I don't know how he got under there. It was just like a one-off thing. And then there was another time when we were like at the ghost tour that we did that you mentioned. I was standing in front of one of the stores, and in the floor in front of the store outside, there's like grates in the ground, kind of like a sewer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's not a sewer. You can see down in the grates, and you can see that it's like a big, tall, like somebody would be able to stand down there. There's no water like a sewer. Mm-hmm. It looks like a tunnel. Like, you can see it.
Yeah.
You can see it through those grates. And I can't remember what store it was in front of, but I remember thinking,
it's like that thrift store.
Yeah, I think it was like a thrift store.
Or like an antiques or something.
And I was like, see, it's there. Like, you can see it. You can see the tunnel underneath here. Why are people saying it's not a thing? I didn't know if it was just because the government, like, didn't want people to know it was real. But after all this research, I don't even know what to think anymore.
I'm still team tunnel.
Your team tunnel?
Yeah.
I want to be team tunnel.
It only makes sense, especially as we get into this. We have to think back. So, you know, Utah was one of the states that actually didn't become a state until a little bit later on, right? It wasn't like the East Coast or whatever. And
I have no idea, because I don't know crap about that.
Well, a lot of the stories that you hear, or that we will kind of, you know, lead up to that point, is Utah was still very much like the Wild West. Sure, the Mormon pioneers came across, settled, but there was a lot of really wild stuff that took place down in Ogden. And I feel like just with that, and then Prohibition being a thing, even with the Mormons there, like, it was a wild town, red light district and all.
That's why I think this topic is so interesting, because Utah is really known for like the Mormon church and the Mormon the pioneer settlers and everything. But this is just a totally different direction.
It's cool. It's crazy. It's bonkers, if you will.
Yeah. So anyway, let me set it up. So in 1869... I feel like this was a damn history lesson for me, because I don't know shit about history or anything like that. I feel like I did not pay attention in school. So anyway, in 1869 is when the Union Station that is on 25th Street joined with the railroad from the East Coast, and it connected everything to the West Coast. So
Transcontinental Railroad.
Yeah, people. There you go. Thank you, Mitch, for making
the Golden Spike, if you will.
So with that, it brought all different types of people, a lot of immigrants, a lot of different people who weren't from there. And the population actually doubled by the next year. And right on 25th Street, because that was like a hot spot to get off, there was a lot of brothels and hotels and bars and stuff like that. And Ogden actually became labeled as one of the most sinful towns in America. And it stayed that way for about a century. And from what I gathered online, too, I don't know if this is true or not, but something I read said that old school Ogden back then was an influence for the Las Vegas Strip, which I thought was interesting.
So Sin City before Sin City.
Yes, exactly. O-Town, baby. All right. So the glory days of 25th Street, when it was really crazy, was from the 1880s to about 1900, to the 1900s. And I didn't realize this, but Utah actually outlawed liquor 2.5 years before Prohibition began. Did you know that?
I didn't know Utah specifically. I did know that there were states that were on board with that prior to Prohibition. And you know how I learned that?
How, Mitch?
Because we took our children to the Prohibition Museum in Savannah, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And learned all about it. That was, even our kids, our boys, 11 and 7, said that was the highlight of their vacation to Savannah.
They're so funny. They love a museum.
Yeah, we take them to Gatlinburg. What was their favorite?
I don't
know. The Titanic Museum.
Oh, that's right.
Well, I guess they did love Dollywood. Yeah, they and the bread. The Dollywood bread.
Yeah, the Dolly bread is really good. Anyway, I digress. You're getting off track here.
But no, not surprised. Didn't know, though, that Utah was a prohibition state before Prohibition.
Okay, so during this time, during Prohibition, lots of speakeasies, as you can imagine. And the theory is, because when you go into these basements of a lot of these businesses on 25th Street, I've been in two of the basements. One of them was that one we did in the ghost tour. We went in the basement. Super, super creepy. And then another one was when I did one of those paint nights with my friends. And that was done in the basement. It was hella creepy. A lot of these basements have like a dirt floor. And one of them has like a marine... It was called like a marine gel, like when the Marines like...
Marine tank,
yeah. When they would like get too drunk and crazy at the bars, they would throw them in this tank until they sobered up. And it was super creepy. There's no windows. Anyway, but when you go down there and you look at these basements, you can tell that all the basements like along 25th Street are connected from store to store. And that part is not like a theory or negotiable. Like you can tell, like these are connected. They think that they use those to like run alcohol through during Prohibition for the speakeasies and stuff. But what the debate is, I guess, because they're all sealed off now, they're all walled off.
Right. They've got the bricks. We did see that when we went inside of the, whatever the soap place was, you said.
Yeah. Making Sense.
Making Sense
is what it was called.
It was like, yeah, it was weird because it was like a hole cut in the foundation, which was not a perfect hole, but, you know, definitely like a circular-ish hole with like bricks placed right behind it. So it was like...
Yeah, it was like walled off.
It was walled off from the inside, though. Not inside the building, but inside the tunnels, which I thought was interesting.
I don't remember those little details of that.
I took mental note.
Okay, well, that's good to know. But yeah, so some people say that the alleged tunnels could run all the way up to the Ben Lomond Hotel, all the way up to Wall Street. Some of them say it's really not tunnels, just connecting basements, but nobody knows really for sure. I have heard a lot too, also on that tour we went on and online, it mentions that the tunnels were used for opium dens, that the Chinese transported opium and it was like a drug trade down there.
Yeah, yeah, so, I remember I'm talking about that.
Yeah. So I don't even know. It's interesting, though. But super creepy. I love haunted stuff, and I've always wanted to go tour them.
So if anyone knows somebody that can get us into the tunnels on 25th Street in Ogden.
Or who knows someone who has been down there, because I swear to you, I have heard people say they've been down there before. So anyway, so 1933, they do away with Prohibition. There's still lots of crime in Ogden on 25th Street. The crime is pretty bad until about the 1950s. And by the 60s and 70s, it was pretty much dead down there, and the city decided to restore it. The city claims that when they were restoring things in the 70s and 80s, that they didn't see any tunnels.
Lies.
But again, can we really trust the government?
Not one bit, in my opinion.
Okay. All the basements, they seem to have like a north and south sealed entrance. But since they also have like ones on the other side too, some of them, like east and west. So that's why it's confusing as to like, where are these actually leading?
Oh, yeah.
Because the north and south like makes sense because it's like an underground entrance to get into the front or the back of the store.
Mm-hmm.
But then the other ones, it's like, where are they all going to? One thing that I found really interesting also is that on 25th Street, they had the red light district and it was called Electric Alley. And it was right behind the businesses. And I do believe that was underground. Like they hit it. Now it's just a parking lot. But I went down a deep dive about these madams that ran these red light districts. And I thought it was so interesting. I can't help but like them.
It's interesting, right? Because you're talking like professional, organized businesswomen.
Yeah, and back in the like, day,
that's a lot of you got to have a lot of sense and for to like manage that and get caught.
Well, they did eventually.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much inevitable.
I'm going to talk about these two ladies. So two of them were like especially well known. the first one is Madame Belle London. And she owned a fair chunk of 25th Street. So she was a business queen. They like to call her the queen of the underworld. And her business was the London Ice Cream Parlor, which I think that original sign might still be up. The London Ice Cream Parlor. Do you know if it is?
I saw a
picture of it, but I haven't seen. The article I read was written a while ago, so I haven't seen it recently. But yeah, so that was basically like her fake cover-up business was this London Ice Cream Parlor. And then underneath or behind, they did the brothel.
The activities. You know what? I feel like they might have talked about that on the ghost tour as well. Because
they might have.
There was something I remember specifically that something about an ice cream parlor. And I'm sure it had something to do with liquor as well, but they had root beer, the root beer essence that they threw out the top window so it exploded out front of the candy shop to try to, like, distract from the other smells that were coming.
It was something with root beer.
Yeah, like, people said that you'd be walking down the street and randomly smell root beer.
Yeah, root beer is such a Utah thing, too. We were just talking about this the other day because our kids love root beer.
Love the A&W.
Yeah, and they were like, nobody at our school likes root beer. They all think root beer is gross. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's literally in your DNA to like root beer. That's hilarious.
They had no chance.
Yeah, root beer like legitimately is like a Utah thing.
And we even had to have root beer floats last night.
I love root beer too. It slaps sometimes.
Yeah, it's loaded with the shug, but...
Well, yeah, that's why I love it.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Okay, so anyway, there is actually a restaurant that opened in 2019 in Salt Lake City called the London Bell Supper Club, named after this madame. And I looked it up, and it honestly looks really highfalutin and fancy.
Let's get done up the next time we go to Utah.
In the name of research, I feel like the next time we're there, we should go check it out. It looked good. So if anybody's in Salt Lake and you want to check out the London Bell Supper Club, let me know how it is. It looks fun. I'm just like really interested in this lady. I just think it's cool because, you know, back in the day, like it was hard for women to make money. So there just wasn't a lot of options.
Right.
And this lady was just like buying up the whole street and like did fancy parties and was like with the highfalutin crowd. And, you know, even though it was kind of sketchy what she was doing, I just can't help but kind of like her. She's kind of a bad bitch.
There we go again. I knew that one was coming.
I was trying to hold off, but it had to be said. Okay, so, and then there's another madame. Her name is Rose Davy. And she seems like me and her would vibe. Okay. She had a pet ocelot that she would be seen walking up and down the street. And for those who don't know, an ocelot is like a wild freaking cat. It looks like a
leopard bobcat size.
It's like a leopard printed like little cat. Like it's bigger than a house cat, but it's like a wild cat. So yeah, she had an ocelot. She also drove a pink Cadillac, which is my steez.
I mean, you're just like, it's like just flaunting in front of the police too, right? Like everyone knows.
Yeah, they knew. So that was another thing.
She's driving the pink Cadillac. Yeah. They know what she does. They know where the money comes from. But she's just like giving them the proverbial finger and saying, try and catch me.
Well, allegedly, they would get these, quote, fines. And they would just pay them because it was basically like bribery for the police.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that happened a
lot. To leave them alone. But listen to this. So this was in the 40s and the 50s. And she was bringing in $30,000 a month.
A month?
Yeah. In the 30s and the, or in the 40s and the 50s. So think about how much money that was back then.
Think about bringing $30,000 to $40,000 a month right now. And that was 70 years ago.
I mean, I would have an ocelot too.
I'd probably see a pink Cadillac in your driveway also.
Yeah, so I don't know how they're making that much money. Like, are that many dudes just, like, lining up? Or are they selling drugs, too, on the sly? I think they might have been.
It had to have been a whole lot of
That's
stuff.
What it said on my source.
You know,
was $30,000 monthly.
I think that it's the notion that the rich have several streams of income. So she was pimping her girls,
mm-hmm.
and then she probably had some sort of bar, ice cream shop, clothing shop,
yeah,
drug trade, like just a little bit of everything going on, but was just removed far. It's like organized crime, once again, like you're far enough removed that it's really hard for them to actually pin it on you
because
they don't have the modern technology.
Yeah, it was way easier.
They weren't phone tapping you.
Right. It was way easier to get away with shit back then. So her place was called the Rose Room, which I think is so cute because her name's Rose. Apparently inside it was like animal print. Mitch, don't laugh at me. It was like animal print and pink stuff. I could just envision it all. Her with her ocelot and like the pink room. Anyway, so she did eventually get caught. Well, they put her and her husband, she ran it with her husband. She got in trouble eventually a few times, but they had so much money that they would just like pay the bail and like pay the fine, and they would like be on their merry way and they'd keep doing it. So what they finally got tagged for was for tax evasion.
Wow.
Yeah. And so they served 3 years for that. And then after that, they went to Las Vegas and got into some shenanigans there. But yeah,
their business is probably still thriving in Las Vegas. I bet you there's a Rose Room in Vegas.
There probably is.
She's just like sent it down through her prodigy.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's funny, actually, that you talk about tax evasion, because when I get into my topic a little bit, that's the only thing that they could pin.
Yeah.
Even there, it was just well known. Again, she was driving the pink Cadillac. They knew what she was doing.
Yeah, well, it's like throwing spaghetti at a wall and just seeing what sticks. You just got to tag
Tax evasion
him
was
whatever.
Easy. Basically, what I read was just that the tax evasion was an easy thing to stick because of the lavish lifestyle that they lived. They had to have... It was easy for them to prove that they weren't paying the taxes on the income that they were bringing in.
Yeah, because obviously they weren't claiming all that income.
Right, right.
Yeah. Okay, that's all I have.
Oh, okay. So, well, that's a good segue then.
Yeah.
You got to stick with me because it doesn't seem at first that this has anything to do with Ogden.
Okay, I'm sticking with you. Go.
Okay. So I've always been fascinated with like the mafia, organized crime.
Oh, I know.
And I recently had to go on that work trip out to Tucson. And so on the way back, I had a lot of time to kill, and got done reading, and so I decided to watch the first couple episodes of The Sopranos. And now it's just reignited my excitement for it. Maybe excitement's not the right word.
Fascination?
Fascination. Fascination's probably a good one. And so, you know, probably one of the biggest, most celebrated, most infamous mobsters out there, Mr. Capone. Al Capone.
Oh my gosh, just say it normal.
I can't get it right. Al Capone. Right? Everyone knows about Al Capone. They call him Scarface, which evidently, I didn't know this, but he got his scar by getting into a scuffle at, I believe it was a brothel. So he spent his time at...
it was probably Rose effing him up.
It was, I mean, he spent his time amongst the ladies, even though, you know, married man and everything. Anyways, Capone, born to some Italian immigrants, grew up in New York. He actually got embedded into the mafia when he was pretty young, like less than 20 years old.
Oh, wow.
I mean, the guy died of syphilis, I believe it was. So again,
hitting up the brothels.
He hit the brothels pretty hard.
Jeez.
And he was only like 47 years old. What brought him down officially? Tax evasion.
Oh, okay. I was going to say syphilis.
Well, tax evasion is what ultimately took him out of the organized crime gang. Okay. But syphilis took him down permanently at the age of like 47.
Got it. I'm so, picking up what you're putting down.
Again, moved to Chicago, which was really like his central hub. He ended up taking over at like 26 years old. Dude's 26 years old and he's like the crime boss of Chicago. And if you've, have you ever seen like pictures of Capone?
I have, yeah. I don't remember like right off the top of my head, but I know I've seen some pictures.
I mean, the most famous pictures I look at, I'm like, that dude looks like he's about 50 years old, but he didn't even make it to 50.
Oh, wow.
Well, I'm confused. I mean, I guess he ran a hard life.
Yeah, he ran a hard life.
But, you know, he took over an operation because the main boss, Big Jim, who ran the syndicate in Chicago, ended up dying on a hit that they can't pin to Capone, but were like, he took over immediately after. They ran this business that was primarily brothels and gambling rackets, refused to bootleg. But as soon as obviously, as soon as Capone took over, he was like, "No, we're bootlegging." Prohibition started, tons of opportunity. Let's make crazy money. So, this guy has, you know, taken all these vices, and the only thing that they ended up pinning on him was tax evasion. Ultimately, well, let me back up. He did get in trouble at one point. For like, it had something to do with, him not showing up to court for a subpoena. I can't remember what they call it, contempt or something like that. He was held in contempt. And then like 2 days before, he was supposed to go to jail, they found him and his bodyguard in Philadelphia carrying concealed weapons. So he spent a year in Philly, served 9 months because of his good behavior, was let out. But then, you know, the big thing was that he ended up getting 11 years for tax evasion because, again, how could you live this lavish lifestyle that you have and not pay all those taxes? I mean, the guy spent time at Alcatraz.
Yeah, that's intense.
That's wild, right? But anyways, they ultimately let him out because he was dying. His memory was gone. The syphilis had gone to his brain.
Ew.
Was shutting down and everything. So he spent... he essentially retired with his family to his Florida mansion where he died at the age of 48 years old. 48.
Wow.
Why do I bring up Al Capone?
Tell me why.
Because it was said that straight out of Al Capone's mouth, he called 25th Street 2-bit Street. 2 bits equals 25 cents, and 25 cents is what he would pay for a prostitute.
I did not know that's how it got its name.
Anyways, he said supposedly, allegedly, that Ogden was too wild of a town even for him.
Yeah.
So he'd actually, we learned a little bit about this on that ghost tour, is that Capone mm-hmm. shows up and he was looking at figuring out how to get his businesses going in Ogden, because again, this is pre-Vegas. He, you know, had his enterprise going on in Chicago and was trying to figure out how to expand into this pre-Vegas area. It sounds like he did get some businesses going, a little bit of prostitution, a little bit of bootlegging, or, you know, liquor running that he would run supposedly through these tunnels after he had smuggled it over the Canadian border illegally, took the train, got it all the way to Ogden, and could distribute it.
This is right up your alley.
It's right up my alley. And we're not even going to talk about, well, we could talk about, but the Valentine's Day Massacre, which was another wild Capone story.
You thought about 2 weeks ago that the Valentine's Day Massacre was something entirely different.
I think I just had it mixed up with something else.
You thought it was like something to do with a Viking massacre.
You're right. I did think that. I got it mixed up with another one. I can't remember what the Viking massacre is called again.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm a dude. I like all that stuff.
I know. You're so weird.
It's just wild.
You're such a dude.
Thank you.
Anyway.
So, anyways. I mean, that's pretty much all I've got on Capone. But the 25th Street stuff, again, two-bit street, often referred to. There's the red light district. You can get some pretty cool stuff off of this website that I found. It's just called utahstories.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows a lot of the old pictures where you could see people out front of their stores. Takes a little bit of the detail that you took about how things really got started and how there was a crazy mob scene that came there from New York and Chicago, aka Capone. The brothels and how it took some time to clean up everything like that. It's a wild place.
It's the wild, wild west.
It was literally the wild west.
Yeah. 25th Street's cool.
It's fun.
Another interesting fact about 25th Street is that they actually filmed some scenes from Yellowstone there.
Yeah. I've actually meant to Google that before, because I know that there has been a lot of
TV that's been
recorded on 25th Street.
But Yellowstone's just so well known. So many people watch it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was being recorded on 25th Street. So.
Yeah. We weren't there. We weren't there when it happened, but it was like your parents told us about how they had to like shut down half the street because Kevin Costner was there with the whole crew and they were doing something at one of the shops.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know the details. I just thought that was interesting. But yeah, a funny thing about Ogden is that it oftentimes smells like dog food.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a dog food factory downtown. And one of my clients is a flight attendant. And she told me on one of her trips, she's like, oh, I was in your hometown. I went to Ogden. She's like, is it just me or does it smell like dog food? I'm like, no, it totally does. That's so funny that you said that. Like, there's a dog food factory right there. That's why. Oh, sounds like a lovely place, doesn't it?
Yeah. It was.
We're really selling it.
It was. It's a fun place to go, though. I mean, you're 30-ish minutes north of Salt Lake City, so it doesn't take that long to get to downtown Salt Lake if you want. But Ogden in itself is just a cool place to go walk around, check out the ghost tours. You're not far from the ski resorts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we love a ghost tour. I try to do a ghost tour everywhere I go. We've done one in Charlotte in Uptown.
Mm, twice.
Yep, we did one. Did we do one in Savannah? No.
No.
No, we didn't do one in Savannah because it was too cold, but we did go to the creepy cemetery drive around.
That's right. We hit the creepy cemetery. The other one that was cool was in Tampa.
Tampa. We did one in Tampa.
Because we went to Ybor City.
Yeah.
Ybor City was really cool.
Yeah, I want to do more ghost tours like everywhere. So
yeah, I think one of these times we're really gonna have to head down to like Louisiana,
yeah,
or something like that,
100%,
and go check out one of those.
Yeah,
because I feel like that getting into the voodoo and all the
interesting
crazy stuff that's down there.
Yeah. One day.
One of these times.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty much all I got about it. Next week, we're definitely going to dive into some more Love is Blind stuff. We didn't talk about it this week because there was only one more episode that we didn't. So there wasn't like too much to add on. But the new episodes come out soon. The next segment of them. And I'm excited because this season is an absolute hot mess. It is messy, Charlotte.
So messy. Get your act together.
Yeah, like we're not all like this here, I swear. This one is messy.
I mean, we're barely charlatans though.
Well, you know, we've been here 5.5 years, so I think that is enough time. But yeah, it's just interesting. A lot of people online are saying like, oh, we're embarrassed to be from Charlotte because this season is so crazy and these girls are ruthless and the mayor needs to come on and make an announcement. We're not all this way. I'm sure the mayor has better things to do.
The mayor needs to focus probably more on the infrastructure so that we can handle all the people moving here. Stop, by the way. We like it here, but like,
don't come here.
We're going to run out of places.
We don't have room to eat,
and there's way too many apartments already.
Mm-hmm. So anyway.
So yeah.
Is that all you got, Mitch?
I think that's all I got. I think that I was just trying to figure out how to let the people know what's coming next for us. So we planned on putting together a handful of these episodes that we want to release all at the same time. The plan is that we will have these released on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, and ultimately YouTube. So
all the things. There will be only audio on YouTube, though.
We need some time to get
the video acclimated. Portion is too much for me right now. I don't have any idea how to do it. It's just too much. The whole nother level of confusion and learning. Also, we do these at night, and I don't want to look presentable. It's like 10 o'clock at night right now. I have no makeup on.
Same, girl.
Mitch has no makeup on. He took all his off. I don't want to really look presentable to have to like film it. Like, you don't need to see our face anyway.
So if you don't want to pay for Spotify, you don't have Apple, you can still find us on YouTube.
Yeah.
And so we're going to let these three episodes come out. Like and subscribe.
Oh my gosh. That's what our kids say.
Yeah.
They pretend they have a YouTube channel.
Give me the thumbs up.
Yeah, don't forget to like and subscribe.
But seriously though, because that's the only way that we'll grow the podcast.
Yeah.
And what our intent is to put out a new episode every...
Probably other week.
Couple weeks. Yeah. I mean, if we can do more, we will. But we still have work and a household to manage and a dog and a lizard and a fish and a snail. And two kids.
A snail.
All the things.
We have like a bunch of snails in there, but that's irrelevant.
So anyways, thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for the love. Thanks for the support. Leave us a review and tell your friends.
Yeah, we'll see you next time.
All right, over and out.
Bye.